We live in a republic, and we really have no idea what it would be like to live under a king. We have a president who, if we want to, we can vote out of office or re-elect after 4 years. We really don't know what it's like to be the subject of a king and all that goes along with that. It's a completely foreign idea to most of us. It's remarkable that in today's Psalm, Psalm 95, we can see just what kind of a king we do have. And in today's Holy Gospel, how that king rules his subjects. Psalm 95 shows us our king is God himself, the creator of the universe, who just happens to also be the good shepherd, who cares for his sheep and longs for his people to hear and to respond to his voice. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths or caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. For the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and fall down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the same shepherd that Ezekiel speaks of in chapter 34 that George read this morning, who will search for my sheep and look after them. I think of the words of Jesus when he talks about the 99. And the one that he would go after to rescue. The shepherd cares for them. The shepherd cares for us and provides and leads us to rest. This shepherd, by the way, is also, as we read in Revelation, the Lamb of God and the King in our gospel message. In today's Holy Gospel from Matthew, Jesus speaks of a king acting like a shepherd who is just. Jesus gives us a vision of how the people will be divided up at Judgment Day, just as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Now, this is not a political statement, but the sheep are put on the right and the goats are put on the left. He speaks to those on the right and says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Then Jesus goes on to say, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Well, the sheep who were puzzled, they were people who had a good relationship with God. They were puzzled, and they said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." How they treated others became as natural as getting up in the morning. But then there are those that Jesus put on the left, and he said to them, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." Their big response was, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and need clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Wow. I think there's a great Christian artist named Keith Green. He passed away way too early in a plane crash with some of his kids at their ranch in Texas, but he wrote a song called "The Sheep and the Goats," and it's a 7-minute song, and he does this whole gospel but does it with a feeling like, Lord, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? Google it. Keith Green, The Sheep and the Goats. It's an amazing account of this scripture. It really is. When Jesus says the least of these, they could be the poor, or maybe the homeless person who is living on the street and sleeping on the park bench, or finding shelter under the railroad bridge. Do you know there are people there? It might be the person who is not accepted by society because of mistakes or crimes that they've done. And then there are the people who can't take care of themselves because of substance problems. It could be the adult or little child who's being mistreated or abused. It could be anyone who seems different from what we're expecting. And then again, the least of these could be a non-believer. It could be someone who does not yet know Jesus. And through the eyes of society, we may have been given a picture of who is the least, but it may not be entirely accurate. And I think that there are times when we all fall into this category. Was there a time in your life when you were hurting or in need, and someone reached out to you, and maybe did not reach out to you? Was there a time when you just needed somebody to talk to, and thanks be to God, someone was right there for you? Or maybe there was a time when you were worried about something, and somebody prayed with you, or helped you in some other way. It may have been that you moved to a new town and needed some new friendship. Think about when you might have been hungry, thirsty, a stranger in need of hospitality, in need of clothes, sick, and in need of a caregiver, in prison. And prison could be on lockdown. It could be quarantine, and nobody called. Or it could be, at least you got a text message asking how you're doing. Could be. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he or she is my disciple, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, he or she will certainly not lose his reward. The importance of service, when and where service is needed, is not overlooked by the King. God, by reflecting our love for him, reflects his character in us. We often forget that we were created in his image. And even more, we forget that the person next to you is also made in his image. The author of Hebrews, no, it's not Paul. The author of Hebrews writes in chapter 6, verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Our King loves justice enough to give us opportunities to serve others. I can tell you the times that Deacon Bob has had to empty that box and bring it to the Coffee County Food Bank. Thanks be to God for your generosity. And in the past years when the Mary Hay Center was open, it is now closed due to COVID and other things, we would have a box in the back during Advent, which would be overflowing with unwrapped toys for these kids. George would have to empty it time and time again. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I know I'm preaching to the choir because of your faithfulness and your longing to help others. True justice is serving others who are made in the image of God, not judging, but serving, just as our King does. When you did for the least of these, you're really doing it for Jesus. Our King is filled with compassion for others and is not afraid to get involved. He stepped into time as a tiny baby, which we will be talking about the next 4 weeks during Advent. And then he grew into a man who would lay down his life willingly so that he could serve and save us. That's not like any king I've ever heard of. He came to serve us. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. On the night before he died on the cross, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, our King, washed the feet of his disciples. Have you ever washed somebody else's feet? It's not fun. If you've served a Curcio team, you have to wash the other team members' feet. We've talked about this in the past. It's amazing, but it ain't pretty. If you are a healthcare professional, you may have been in situations like that far too many times. He washed the feet. He did it because he loved, and he still loves. When you invite the King of Kings into your life, you may be really in for a few surprises. Anything you do for other people, you are really doing for him. The King will bring people across your path and create opportunities for you to help. Opportunities that may cost you some time and possibly even some money. The reward is not of this world, but it is in knowing that you have done for the King what he has asked you to do. That's what you were made for. I can tell you the number of times that Gray came into my office around Thanksgiving time and near Christmas and said, "Do you know anybody that's in need? We have ham or we have turkeys that we want to give." I never asked him who the we were. But passionately, he made sure that the people that needed got them. I'm not here to point out people that have done things. You all have done things. Thanks be to God. In spite of what some people might think, there's not one of us who can save a soul. I get tired of hearing evangelists saying, "Well, I saved this person and I saved that person." And sometimes there's some evangelists that count it as a notch on their belt that, "Oh, I saved some." We can introduce them to Christ, but it is the Holy Spirit who saves the soul. Our King Jesus can save, and he does. Think of seed, those in the farming industry, or maybe you're just growing something in your backyard. You can't make that seed grow. Yes, you can scatter it, you can sow it, you can water it, you can nurture it, you can pray for it, but you cannot make it grow. God, our King, can and does. How blessed we are that our King, who relies on us to be his hands and feet and gives us the opportunity for us to introduce people to his mercy, his love, and his saving grace, and then letting him do the rest. Don't we serve an awesome King? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.